remove the barrier and the obstacle between us and God. We're starting a new series this morning, and we're going to be turning to Psalms chapter 84. Psalms chapter number 84 and verse 10. We're going to be looking at some verses of Scripture that use the word better. And we're going to be talking about aspects of the Christian life that are better than average life. So Psalms 84, verse 10 will be our kickoff scripture for today. Verses 10 to 12. Read with me if you would. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. And our subject for today is simply, better is one day. Better is one day. We're going to pray and then we'll get into it. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for what we feel in this place. Lord, that your presence is here in a manifest way. Lord, but I pray that you will take your word. I pray you'll speak it into our hearts. I pray that you'll enable me to communicate it as you would have it communicated. Lord, I pray that you will just minister now. Lord, challenge us. Speak encouragement to those that need encouragement. Whatever our need may be, let your word and your spirit agree together to be at work in our lives. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you can be seated. I mentioned we're beginning a series where we'll be looking at some verses of the Bible that use the word better, because God always offers better than what the world can give. So we're going to look at some of those things. You may not know this about me, but I do like coffee. And usually that's just regular coffee, but when I'm feeling extravagant, I used to go to Starbucks, and I would get a grande toffee nut latte, decaf usually, and it was good. I enjoyed it. Then, probably 2 years ago now, I was with family in Fredericton, New Brunswick, and we went to a restaurant for family dinner. And then they said, well, let's go get a coffee. We're not going to have it here because they didn't specialize in coffee. And so let's go get a coffee. So I knew that Starbucks was just down Prospect Street. So I'm thinking Starbucks. But they said, no, Second Cup is right almost next door. So let's go to Second Cup. Now, to many of you, this may seem trivial. And I'm going to ask you what I say next. Please don't judge me. Okay, just don't judge. So we went to Second Cup. Now, I was a Starbucks guy. You know, I have the mugs to prove it. Drives my wife crazy because I collect them, but it drives her crazy because she actually put a moratorium on new Starbucks mugs because the cupboard was full. I was beginning to crowd things out, and so no more Starbucks mugs. So we went to Second Cup, duly noted my protest that we should go to Starbucks. And I looked at the panel that had all their offerings on it, and I thought, well, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb here, so I will get, I don't even know what it is, but I'm going to get a caramel Coretto. Okay, caramel Coretto. Now, I work hard. I want you to know that. So in the interest of research for this message today, I had to go to Second Cup yesterday. Can we put that picture up on the screen? That is a caramel Coretto, folks. I have become an evangelist for Second Cup. They don't pay me. As a matter of fact, I was listening when Brother Staten was here preaching earlier this year, and he mentioned that I had got him hooked on caramel Coretto. That is it in all of its goodness. That's whipped cream on the top. They don't go light. I mean, it is what Rebecca tells me is diabetes in a cup. You know the problem, anytime I mention food and service, that I lose somebody. That one happens to be decaf. And there's something about it, when that cream begins to melt into the hot latte, Now stop, don't judge me. It's an occasional treat. My doctor is not here today. And so now there are some times that I go to Starbucks still, and I will get my toffee nut latte. And I got to tell you, this one, it's better. Now, you are wondering why I tell you that coffee story and why I'm wasting your time talking about coffee. But you see, I was doing pretty good with Starbucks until I discovered something better. And so now if I have a choice, now for all you Starbucks lovers out there, it's okay, it's good, nothing wrong with it. For you Timmy fans, have your Timmies. It is better. And here's the thing about life. The tragic thing in our culture is that so many people settle for the good life. I'm going to have some money, I'm going to have a job, I'm going to raise a family, I'm going to have some toys, I may go on vacation. I am living the good life. But the Bible teaches us that Jesus came along to offer us something that is better, something that takes us a step beyond. You know, we all want nice things. We want comfort, we want convenience, we want fun, and nothing wrong with that. As long as God has all your heart. The tragedy is that so many people settle for the good things when they could have something indescribably better. God offers better. A key thought that we're going to be looking at throughout this series is you have to let go of the good to grab hold of the better. You have to let go of the good to grab hold of the better. I want to take you back to the Psalms and back to our text, actually. We're going to read just a little bit earlier. The psalmist is talking to God, and notice what he said in verse 1 and verse 2. He said, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." Now, to be really honest, when I read that in the King James, particularly verse 1, didn't do a lot for me. How amiable are thy tabernacles? Now, that's not an expression that we usually use to describe God's dwelling place, amiable. So, in the New Living, here's what it says. He said, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's armies." Let's go on to verse number 2. "I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord with my whole being, with body and soul. I will shout joyfully to the Lord." Now notice what he is saying. And if you're new to the Bible, you may ask, well, what does courts of the Lord? What is that? What does it mean? Why would your soul long for the courts of the Lord? And anytime you see that in the Old Testament, it actually is a picture or it's representative. It represents the presence of God. So what David was saying was, because God would live or dwell within the temple, that was where God's manifest presence was, the people would go into the courts of the temple to get close to God for worship. Now, here's an amazing thing that we need to understand. is that right now, you don't have to go to Jerusalem, to a temple, to try to get into courts, to get into the presence of God. But as Sister Mickey was singing just a little bit ago, that the Bible teaches us that that wall or that curtain of separation between God and man was torn apart when Jesus died. And that now we come freely into the very presence of God. You can access God. But they would describe it as, I'm coming into your courts. Now look at verse number 10. I put this in the New International Version. He said, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. And notice, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. He said, one day in your presence, one day with God is better than 1,000 that I can have everywhere else. He said, I would rather be a doorkeeper. I'd rather be the guy that's standing there by the door, and that was a thankless job of a servant. And David was the king. But he said, if it means being in the house of God, then let me lay aside my kingly privilege. Let me lay aside everything that goes with my position. Because one day in God's presence, I would rather be a doorkeeper. I'd rather be a servant, letting people in and out. I'd rather be that than to dwell in the tents of the wicked for a lifetime, for 1,000. People who don't know Jesus simply don't understand that better is one day with God. Better is one day with God. Tragically, even some who call themselves believers don't really get it. To be in God's presence. And let me give you some reasons why being in God's presence is better. Why one day with God is better. First of all, one day with God is better because God's ways are higher than our ways. The Bible says that God's ways are better than our ways. As a matter of fact, God knows what's better for me than I know myself. One day is better. The Bible teaches us that one day with God is better because His love is better than anything that you will ever experience anywhere else. One day with God is better. One day with God is better because Jesus forgives you of every sin that you've ever committed. You can walk with your head held high knowing my sins are forgiven and I'm in relationship with God. One day in God's presence is better. You know, He said that He would separate us from our sins as far as the east is from the west. A day with God is better because you know I have security. I am part of the family of God. And I not only get to call Him God, I get to call Him Father because He loves me. One day is better. One day is better because you have joy. Let me tell you what Peter said. That you are going through all kinds of trials and tests and problems. Anybody here ever have a problem? Maybe you got a problem today. Just raise your hand. Okay, and those of you who don't, either, you know, your hands are cold and you're sitting on them, or there's something going on. Because we all have problems. Maybe you're shy. We all have problems. But Peter wrote to people who were going through huge problems. Problems that I've never had to face. Of a magnitude that I've never had to face. And he said, there's something you need to understand. God is working through your problems. Now here's the thing about God. God not only works through my blessings, that's when I feel like rejoicing, but God also works through my problems. I may not see what God is doing, but God is at work in my blessing. God is at work in my problem. And then he said, and because God is at work within your problems, now you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's something about what Jesus does in your heart that he transforms you into a joyful person. And the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. Better is one day with God. Better. It's better. Not only that, We were studying about this on Wednesday night in Philippians. One day with God is better because no matter what you're going through, no matter what's going on in your life, you can experience supernatural peace when the world around you is falling apart, when everybody around you is falling apart. Better is one day in the house of God, in God's presence, because there is supernatural peace that God brings within your life that even you won't understand. One day with God is better because you have His divine purpose and calling on your life. When you wake up in the morning, you know God knew me before I was born. He had a purpose for my life before I even popped out of my mother's womb, that God has His hand on me. And Ephesians says that you are God's masterpiece. When you get up in the morning and you face life, and life can sometimes be intimidating, but you can face it knowing that God is on my side and I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Better is one day in God's presence. Better is one day in God's presence because you have God's power. If you're a follower of Jesus, we just had Easter last Sunday, but the same power, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you, and you have access to God. Let me tell you, better is one day with God. Better is one day. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because better is one day. Better is one day. Better. I'm not saying you're never going to have trials. I'm not saying you're never going to have problems. That everything's always going to go your way. It doesn't. That's simply not true. But in the middle of the storm, Jesus is your peace in the storm. Let me tell you, I'd rather be on the boat with Jesus in the middle of the storm than to be on the shore without Him. Because better is one day with Him. It brings us to the question, if one day with Jesus is better, how do we have a day with Him? Now, the stock answer is, you have a prayer time, and you read your Bible, and that's good. We need to do that. That needs to be part of our daily devotional routine. You need that devoted time. But there are some other things that I want to encourage you about to move beyond simply that concept. Because sometimes we compartmentalize God into a few minutes in the morning or a few minutes at night or an hour and a half or 2 hours or depending how long the service goes, We compartmentalize God. And that's God time, and the rest of it is me time. So the first thing is, number one, for those of you who like to take notes, live with an awareness of God's presence. Live with an awareness of God's presence. That you're going to recognize all day long, all the time, to be aware that God is guiding you, God is directing you, God is strengthening you, God is comforting you. Not just when I'm in my prayer time, but God is with me all day long. You don't just have time with God, and that's important, but you do life with God. So I have time with God in my prayer time, in my Bible reading, but I also need to learn that I have my day with God all the way through. It's interesting, in the Old Testament, there's no Hebrew word that's translated as spiritual. Because to God who was spirit, when He created everything in His image, everything is spiritual. And now you're going to need to take a minute with that one. But imagine when Jesus was with His disciples on earth, and one of His disciples comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, how is your spiritual life? I think Jesus would go, huh? Because everything is spiritual. I'm here doing my Father's business. In the Old Testament, God dwelled in the temple. People would go to the temple. They would worship. They'd try to be close to God. You'd have to go somewhere to be with God or be with in His presence. In the New Testament, the Bible teaches us that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And that God doesn't live in a church building, that God doesn't live only in heaven, but that God takes up residence within your life. He lives in you. So you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. God is there. And because of that, you can literally have a day with God. Not just a time with God, but a day with God. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 17. Notice what he says about living. Colossians 3, verse 17. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You know what that's saying in practical terms? Whatever you do, you're driving to work, do it in the name of Jesus. You're going to Walmart, I'm going to Walmart in the name of Jesus. You're studying for a chemistry or physics exam, do it in the name of Jesus. You're getting dressed for the day, do it in the name of Jesus. He said, whatever you do in word or deed. You know what that means? That means if I can't do it in Jesus' name, I shouldn't do it at all. You say, well, how do I know? You know what? If you can't do it when the preacher's around, you probably can't do it in Jesus' name, so you probably shouldn't do it at all. Oh, man, it just kind of got quiet in here. But he said, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because to God, all of life is spiritual. It's not compartmentalized that this is my school life and I have this set of behavior here, and this is my church life and I have this set of behavior here, and this is my home life and I have this set of behavior, and this is my work life. But to God, all of life is part of our worship to him. And he said, do it in the name of Jesus. Word or deed. That's everything I say and everything I do. Do it in the name of Jesus. Recognizing that I can have communication with God, that I can live with God every day. The second thing is developing habits. Developing habits. I want to talk about some habits that are important in our lives if we're going to live better. The first one, number one, develop the habit of constant communication with God. This is a habit. It'll take you 30 days to develop a habit, so don't give up. Develop the habit of constant communication with God. Now, I had there was a person who was connected distantly to my family who had this habit, I think trying to do this, but had this habit, that she would, under her breath, be going, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Which is fine in church, we understand. But they told the story of how she went shopping for carpet one day. And the salesperson said, ma'am, this is the best carpet. I'm giving you a really good deal here. And she, under her breath, was going, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Now, I know what she was doing. You know what she was doing. The carpet salesman had no idea what she was doing. This is a true story, by the way. And so he said, well, ma'am, if that's not good enough, you know, I don't want to upset you, but I'd like to help you. So if that's not good enough, I could take a little bit more off the price. And so she was an older lady. And so she was still there. She was going, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Well, you understand where the carpet guy was going? Now, that's not what I'm talking about doing. I'm talking about communication, but I'm talking about developing a habit. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. This also is New International. He said, be joyful always. We've been talking about that on Wednesday nights from Philippians. So be joyful always. And then 17, pray continually. Now, that doesn't mean you walk down the street with your eyes closed going, oh, Lord, be with me today. Help me, Lord, because I don't know where I am. And I'm pretty close to that step. That's not what it means. But it means when you come up against a problem. There are sometimes you may not even pray audibly, but in your mind you're going, oh, Lord, Jesus, help me now. Because, and nobody around you even knows what's going on. But your spirit is reaching out to God. And you're saying, God, I really need your help right now. And you will come to the point of constant communication with God that you may be driving down the road and you're thinking about a problem and you hear yourself saying, dear Jesus, you've got to help me when I get to work because I've got an issue. And it's not your prayer time at home and it's not your devotional time at home, but you're in communication with God on a 24-hour basis. It's about dependence with God. I think it's important that we have our prayer time. But you know, sometimes we're kind of ADD prayer people. Here's what I mean by that. You get down to pray, and I have this happen to me. I get down to pray, and then it's like, did I return that really important email? And maybe that's not what gets you. Did I leave the oven on? Is the iron on the ironing board, and is the house starting to burn down? We have all kinds of things that just flash through our minds. And the first part of our prayer time is working through all those things. And, you know, we all, how many of you have one of these, a cell phone? You got a cell phone? All right. Hopefully they're all on silent. Better check mine. Today, everything is about, I talk to young people, and I say, you know, why don't you call? You know, they say, no, I'll text. I thought you had a phone to call people, right? But apparently, it really doesn't matter if your phone can make phone calls as long as it can text. And communication gets broken down into short bursts. Well, let me tell you that in our Christian life, we need the long conversation with God. But then we need those kind of text bursts. That God, I'm in trouble here. I don't know what to tell my boss right now. And I don't want to blow up all over the place because that's not good for me or for them or for my witness or my job security. So Lord, how many of you have ever had that kind of conversation when you're in a problem like that? You've had that? And they don't even know what's going on? You know, it's just like, you're talking to them and in the back of your mind, there's a whole conversation going on with God. Like, God, write words, Lord. Fill my mouth, Lord. Give me wisdom, Lord. Calm them down, Lord. Don't let me pop, Lord. Or you're listening to a worship song, and all of a sudden, it's just like the presence of God, just boom, it's there. And you're like, wow, I wasn't expecting that. Or maybe, Lord, thank you for the job you've given me. Or thank you for my boss is being difficult, but God, you can come through in the middle of this. Or God, what do you want me to say to this person today? How do you want me to handle this? How do you want me to minister to them? It's constant, ongoing communication with God. And suddenly, you're praying without ceasing. The second thing, and this is key, instant obedience to God. Instant obedience to God. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, in the New International, Paul said, it's phrased this way in the New International, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That speaks of when I'm going through my everyday life, and we believe God can speak to us. I've never heard an audible voice God speak that way. But God speaks often in our hearts and our conscience. And what that verse is saying is that when the Holy Ghost speaks into our lives, that I need to be willing to stay in step with Him. That means instant obedience. Now, if you have control issues, that's difficult. if you don't have control issues, that's still difficult. Because we have to learn to begin to obey the voice of God in my life. There are some things it's easy to know God is speaking to you. For instance, if something is speaking to you and you're not sure if it's God and it says, go pray. Okay, you know it's not the devil. Because he doesn't want you to pray. You know it's not you because you struggle to pray. So you can be fairly sure that's God. There are things like that. There are other things where over time you learn a sensitivity to the voice of God. It's like, you know, my wife and I, we've been married for a while now. Quite a few years. And you know what's amazing is I can often pick her voice out of a crowd. Because, well, number one, I've heard it a lot. That's not because she talks a lot, it's just the number of years. I've heard it a lot. Now, really, I know you're laughing about this. I'm sorry. But just hang on, because I do have a point. I've heard it a lot. Her voice is important to me. And I've learned over time that when I actually listen, I'm a guy. I'm sorry. I'm a guy. And she traps me every once in a while. It's not fair and it's not right. Because we have, you know, in our living room, there's a couple of lazy boys, and she has hers and I have mine. And we don't switch them up. Mine, hers. And we'll be sitting there, and she'll be talking, and I'll have my iPad or something. And for some reason, she gets the impression that I'm not listening. And so then she will stop. But that's when it gets a little uncomfortable, because you know something's coming. And then she will say, what did I just say? And then it's scramble time. It's deer in the headlights look kind of time. And so I am desperately trying to recall what was the last thing I heard. You can all tell her you're sorry for her and all that afterwards. But hey, I know guys, and I know that probably those of you who are, you know what I'm talking about. I got to bring this to a close really quickly here in a minute. But I've learned, number one, her voice is important to me. Number two, I've listened to it a lot over the years. And number three, when she is speaking to me, sometimes from a crowd or whatever, she's usually trying to save me from myself. Now, none of you guys will admit that, but I will. Here's the thing about the voice of God. Is that when God is important to me, I will listen for his voice. Because he's important to me. The second thing is, as I walk with the Lord, I learn the tone of God's voice. I learn what it sounds like to me, how God speaks into my life. And so I can distinguish from all the voices around me. I know this is God. And the third thing is that when I've heard his voice and when I distinguish his voice because I know his voice, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. The third thing is that when God speaks to me, he's quite usually trying to save me from myself. He's trying to keep me from making a bad decision, from going in a wrong direction, from doing something I'm really going to regret. And so I've learned that when I know the voice of God, when the voice of God is important to me, and I realize that God tries to save me from myself and from something that I can't see, then I place a priority on hearing His voice within my life. And I want to challenge you, whether you're a new Christian or you've been walking with the Lord for a while, to learn to hear the voice of God within your life. Third thing, and I'm going to close with this. Come back to the music, please, so I will stop. The third thing is a daily desperation for God. Psalm 84, verse 2. He said, I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, with body, and with soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. He said, there's something in my heart that says, I just got to be with God. Because better is one day in God's presence. Better is one day with Him. When was the last time that you felt like that? See, sometimes the reason why we don't have a huge appetite for God is because we fill our lives with so many other things. We fill our lives with TV shows, movies, music, activities, recreation. And there's nothing wrong with recreation and all that, but we fill our lives with so many things that our heart gets full with junk food. And we lose that spiritual longing. That's why prayer and fasting is so important in the life of a believer, because it removes so many things to say, I'm spending special time with God. I'm clearing out all those things. David said, when he was on the run, Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Notice verse number 2. He didn't say, because You'll answer all my prayers. He said, to see Thy power, to see Thy glory, as I've seen Thee in the sanctuary. Verse 3, he said, because I've got experience, because Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise Thee, and thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. And David was not baptized in the Spirit. He didn't have the same kind of experience that God offers to us today. But there was something about King David that he was saying, God, I really need just You. Just You. Better is one day in Your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Stand with me. Better is one day. One day. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to think back to the past month or the past year. And I want you to ask yourself, how was my life characterized? By doing life with an awareness of the ongoing presence of God in me. In other words, how much outside of church did I cultivate God's presence in my life? Because that better is one day doesn't just mean better is Sunday. It means any day I'm in God's presence. If you're like most people, chances are, you really didn't think about it much. But there's something better. And I've come here on this in this first message of the series to challenge all of us. Do you want to sense His presence? Do you want to be available to Him? Do you want Him to use you? Do you want Him to guide and direct you? At the end of your day, do you want to be able to look back and say, I saw the hand of God at work within my life today. I saw God in my life. I want to encourage you today to let go of the good for something that's better. I want to challenge you today. Better is one day in His presence. And I want to invite you just for a moment, in whatever way you want to, if you want to lift your hands or if you just want to close your eyes, but I want to invite you just right now to take a moment. We're going to talk to the Lord. But I want you just to take a moment right where you are in your seat to say, Jesus, I just really want your presence in me. I just really need you in my life. Lord, I want your presence. If that's your prayer, would you just take a moment right now before we sing, before we go any further? Lord, I just want your presence right now. Lord, help me to be aware of your presence in my life. Help me to be aware of what you do in my life. Help me to be aware, God. Let your presence move through my life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That's it. Just go ahead, because right now, while you're talking to God, God can do something in your life. That's it. That's it. Right now, right where you are, God can do something in your life. Jesus, we just really need you. We just really want you. We want you. We want you. And as you're reaching out to the Lord, wherever you are in this building, God is here. God is here to speak to us. God's here to move in your life. And I want to take a moment. We're going to sing. We're going to have a prayer time as we always do. You might be here today and you don't really have a relationship with Jesus. And so I've been talking about God's presence in you and God being at work in you. And maybe you say, well, Pastor, I don't really understand all that. I really get it. Well, that better is one day starts with a surrender to God that says, God, I've done wrong things in my life that I need your forgiveness for. And the Bible says that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's where we're at. And maybe that's where you're at today. You're at the beginning point of faith. And God's brought you here today because things don't happen just by accident. Maybe that's where you're at today. And there's something that's pulling at your heart to say, I need a relationship with God. I need to truly experience God in my life. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I just want to take a moment to ask if there's anybody here. You say, that's me, Pastor. I need God in my life today. I need to move beyond where I've been. I need to take that first step of faith and repentance to say, God, I really need you today. Is there anybody? You just slip your hand up and put it back down again. It doesn't mean you're joining the church or anything like that. It just means I know in myself, and I'm witnessing to that right now, that I just really need God. Is there anybody? Going to take just a moment. Anybody? All right. Now, you might be here. You say, Pastor, I've done that. Maybe you've even been baptized. You say, Pastor, I know God has more for me. He does. The Bible talks about the baptism of the Spirit, which is God's Spirit coming into your life in a very real and tangible way. And if you've never received the baptism of the Spirit, it's God's promise to you. It's God's power in your life. It's God's presence in a very dynamic and powerful way within your life. Now, here's what I'm going to ask while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask if you're here this morning and you've never experienced that baptism of the Spirit, you say, Pastor, I really want what God has for me. I'm going to invite you just to raise your hand. We're going to just take a moment. Because I believe that God wants to do something. And sometimes raising our hand seals the deal in my own mind that I need something from God. Anybody? All right, thank you. Anybody? Anybody else? All right, we're going to pray. And then we're going to have a prayer time. And I want to invite you, whether you raise your hand or not, I want to invite you to come and join with us here at the front. We'd be happy to pray with you. God is here to do something within your life. Lord Jesus, thank you for your presence. Thank you for what you're doing through us and in us. And Lord, we're at all different stages of our spiritual journey. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would work where we're at, with what's going on in our lives to bring us ever closer to you. Jesus, I pray that you will, in the next few moments, make yourself real into lives. I pray that you will pour out of your Spirit into hearts, Lord, that you will do demonstrably above and beyond what we could ever imagine. And God, we give you praise and glory for it now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we sing, I'm going to invite you to come and join with us to stand here at the front and just lift your hands and talk to God. We've got lots of room. I want to invite you.